welcome back to Screen Heroes. I am Derek, one of your regular weekly hosts, and I have my two other lovely hosts with me this evening.
We're no longer fantastic.
Nope, just lovely.
Ryan.
Hello.
And Ray.
Hello.
How you guys doing?
I'm all right. How are you, Boo?
I'm doing well. Tonight we're going to be talking about the Justice League and Star Wars The Last Jedi trailers, as well as the premieres of both The Inhumans and The Gifted.
Yes.
The two new Marvel shows that have hit cable television.
Yes.
Where do you guys want to start?
Let's start with Justice League.
Do we have any news other than the trailers this week? I don't know.
Do we?
We didn't really talk about this.
Harvey Weinstein was fired.
Yeah.
And so is
turns out he's a horrible human being. I was unaware of that. So
so is Andy Signore.
Signore.
From Screen Junkies.
Yes.
Yeah. Similar also things, disappointing.
Both sexual assault and harassment over multiple victims. So win-win for everybody. We got them out of the business.
But well, I mean, I guess they overall,
they get their stories out. Yeah. They were heard and action was taken. So at this point, that's a lot. Usually it doesn't go that well. So,
yeah,
you know, big win for media.
Terry Crews came out and said that he has been sexually assaulted. I did not get an opportunity to read the article. But
so he was at a party. He and his wife were at a party and a bigwig, who he kept nameless, came over and just grabbed his junk.
Wow.
Out of nowhere. And his wife saw everything. Terry Crews asked him why he did that.
Wait, it was a guy?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. Guy. That's interesting.
And the guy just winked at him and walked away. And so he compared a few stories with people, found out that this guy does this to more people than he ever should. And
which is more than zero.
Yeah.
Yes. Well,
nobody should go up to anybody and just grab their crotch.
No. But two consenting adults can do whatever they want to each other. So that's a little yes. different. If your partner in your home is fine with it, that's
I thought
fine.
We were talking about people at parties and you're not in committed
relationships. You never just walk up and do that. So, yeah. You know.
Especially not to a dude that, like, if you're going to do it. Like Terry Crews?
Yeah, don't do it to a guy who looks like he could knock
it. It was a former linebacker and everything else. Yeah.
And that's exactly what he said. But he also said that the headline the very next day would read, 240-pound black man hits Hollywood bigwig.
Yeah, he's probably right.
And he would be in jail. So he decided to not do it, and he did.
But he's not publicly naming who the person is, which doesn't really do anything for anybody.
Well, look, it is a tough position, right? I mean, his career is at a really good point for him, but, you know, it could still go downhill if the right people had a problem with him.
Absolutely.
You know, and that sucks that that's the case. That's awful.
Sometimes actors get blacklisted because they piss off the wrong people.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Murray had Lucy Liu blacklisted for about 10 years after Charlie's Angels. And then, you know, some people get blacklisted in Hollywood for good reasons. You know, James Woods spouted the N-word and said all these horrible things, and now nobody wants to hire him. Cool.
It's a little different, but yeah. No, but being, you know, right now being blacklisted in high profile careers seems to be a bit of a hot button. And so I understand why he wants to keep it quiet, but
that sucks. I mean, Gwyneth Paltrow and Angelina Jolie both said that Weinstein had harassed them. So, you know, even really big actresses that are A-listers could go back to when they were teenagers acting and they were, you know, put in these poor positions and couldn't say anything until they had a strength in numbers.
Yeah. All right. Well, that all aside, any other interesting news going on? I don't really think much else.
Thor Ragnarok has started press screenings.
Oh, it has.
And actually, the premiere is tonight, but there was already press screenings coming to Twitter, like reviews on Twitter. From the reviews, it sounds like Marvel has another big hit on their hands. People are saying it's the funniest Marvel movie since Guardians of the Galaxy. That the humor is front and center, which a lot of people apparently have problems with. Not the critics that watch the movie, just the people that are you know, thinking the critics about of the critics. Movie. The critics. The people that just want to be critics without seeing the movie.
The only reason why I would have a problem with that is because they did title it Ragnarok, and in the Marvel comics, not even Norse mythology, let's just talk about the Marvel comics, the story of Ragnarok kills off about 90% of Asgard. So that, like, you think massive war wouldn't be funny. But they're not doing that. They're taking him out of there and putting him in the Grandmaster's arena for quite a bit of it. So it's not just Ragnarok. And it's not even Ragnarok. It's Hel trying to take over Asgard because she doesn't want to be down in, well, Hel. So.
Yeah. I mean, obviously none of us have seen the movie, so we don't know the entire plot. That's certainly what it seems like from the trailers.
But, yeah.
I mean, obviously, they announced the director a long time ago, and if you expected him to make a serious Thor movie, then you were probably know nothing about the director.
Or if you saw the first trailer, I know trailers can make movies look different ways. Like
that first trailer still was pretty funny.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was a humorous trailer. So if that didn't already have you thinking it was going to be funny, I mean,
don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is, I'll say for me personally, based on the trailers, this is the first Thor movie that I'm really excited about. The other two, I was not super thrilled.
Well, the second Thor movie, they tried the big old war. Yeah. They tried it. They tried the darker, grittier storyline, and they kind of screwed it up. So,
well, they've never really, Thor's never really connected as much as the other Avengers have.
He's always had that disconnect.
So I'm hoping that this one, because he spent the time on Earth, that's the explanation from the directors, that he spent more time on Earth now, so he's developed a sense of humor and things like that.
That makes sense, because in all the cartoons and the comics, that's the same case. They grow when they're on Earth, and, you know, fish out of water can't stay that way forever. That storyline's not very intriguing after a long time. But to piggyback off of that, they did say that Hulk is going, they're trying to give Hulk a trilogy of his own. So between Thor Ragnarok, Avengers 3, and Avengers 4, they're giving Hulk massive storylines that connect between those three films.
So he can have his movies without him having his movies. So,
yeah, pretty much.
As long as he's only in 49% of the movie, they can't call it a Hulk movie. And
yeah.
That's cool, and it's also a little sad.
Yeah,
it is.
But to be fair, he's already had two movies, so.
And a whole TV show.
And a TV show.
Yeah. But that's interesting.
Yeah.
I do want to say that Blade Runner 2049 was really cool.
I really liked it.
I know, Ryan, you didn't get a chance to see it yet.
I also read some pretty scathing reviews of it, so.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, look, if you like the original, then I think you'll really like the new one, because the new one is just an updated, faster-paced version of the original.
And I actually think it's a bit better. I think you need the original for the story to exist, of course, but I think I thought it was a bit better.
That's fair. I really, really, really like the new one a lot.
One of the reviews I read was from another special effects artist in Hollywood, and he said that the original was perfect, and it's the only perfect movie he thinks he's ever seen.
Whoa.
And that this one doesn't hold a candle.
Which cut is perfect?
I don't know. He didn't specifically say which cut, but
I mean, like,
he said that this was way too long. It didn't have any of the magic of the original. There's just a lot of things missing. Obviously haven't seen it, so I don't want spoilers. But
it's a weird thing to say that a movie that has had five separate releases is perfect, you know.
Because Ridley Scott's never thought it was perfect.
Yeah, I mean, the final cut, you know, is what he's saying is the appropriate version of the film. But it took four, maybe five tries to get there if you want to count the workshop cut. So, I don't know. I feel like it's a little disingenuous to say the original's perfect.
I will say this. I've actually met hardcore sci-fi fans that claim that. And one was my sophomore English teacher. She was like, you guys are never going to find a movie that's better than the book it was based off of. Except Blade Runner. All of you should watch Blade Runner and go set to Android's Dream of Electric Sheep on fire. It's like,
I like the book a lot.
Okay. Well, I've met hardcore sci-fi fans that stick to that the entire time, and I really just feel like it's silly.
I mean, Ridley Scott was like at the peak of his game.
Of course,
that movie. And I mean, depending on the version you watch, I mean, I could see it being very close to perfect for a lot of people, but you know, I mean, I'm open to new things. I'll see the new one at some point.
I love the original. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. I love the book, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? I've got the little car, the police car back there.
I've actually heard of a lot of people walking out of this movie because of how long it was.
It's a long movie, okay? But in the same age where people are complaining about ticket prices, it seems weird to complain that a movie is long. It's 2 hours and 45 minutes, so 3 hours with previews. It's not a short film, but I don't think that's bad. I mean, the Lord of the Rings movies are massive.
Yeah, absolutely. This movie filled every minute of its time. Not one minute I thought was wasted. Ridley Scott produced it, and Denis Villeneuve.
Wow.
I think you got that one right.
I've never spoken French. I do not know how to pronounce his last name, and I'm terribly sorry. He's a really good director. I loved Arrival. I love this, and I think he's kind of solidified his future in big blockbuster movies. I really think that this movie is going to be the step that other studios are going to use to approach him with a Star Wars or a DC or a Marvel. Those are the biggest films currently.
This film also flopped, basically, on the first weekend.
It made over $30 million. I will say that. It did not meet expectations, but the original was a flop, too.
Yeah. It was.
So, you know, it doesn't really mean much for this particular franchise.
Except that in this day and age, if it didn't make $100 million or $90 million at the box office on opening night, on opening weekend, then, you know, they're probably not going to make another.
Let's talk about that for a second.
I don't think, like, there's a need for a third one, just like there was a need for a second one.
Right.
Right? Maybe even less so.
Every movie that they release, they're trying to make a sequel or a universe or whatever. So, I mean,
I think that's true. I think that that's true of most movies. I just don't think that that is going to be a problem with this film. I think that this film is, but it's slow in the same way as the original is slow, but it's got better action. It's got a more interesting story, in my opinion. The original was boring at times, and I love it. This movie's not boring. But maybe it will go down as being a bad sequel. I don't know.
Talk about what Ryan brought up for just a second. So do you guys remember back in the 90s and early 2000s when every single studio lined up big budget action films, blockbusters, things like that, to mid-range and small little artsy stuff? And like, there was a range of budgets, and now I feel like everything has to be a blockbuster. It has to be a connected universe. There has to be options for at least 2 to 3 sequels, that there's nothing in between anymore. It's all these smaller indie companies that are putting out the romantic comedies. Like, one of the best movies of the year, critically, has been The Big Sick, and it was just a romantic comedy. Like, there was nothing special about it.
It's the same with video games. The bigger companies want the bigger money, and you're not going to make $1 billion off of a small idea,
or a new idea.
Martin Scorsese, that's
pretty much tried and true,
more or less.
Maybe not an IP that's tried and true, but
yeah.
Martin Scorsese has Robert De Niro attached for his next film, and every major studio passed on it because it was too risky.
Is that the Joker movie?
No. So Netflix optioned to pick it up. Like, when Netflix is picking up your movie and you're two biggest names attached to it are De Niro and Scorsese, I feel like that's a problem. Why are you passing on this? Like,
but that's just the way the industry goes now for entertainment in general. The market that goes to the movies is not the Martin Scorsese, Robert De Niro market. That's our parents who are now going to the movies less.
Basically, millennials are ruining the movies just like they ruin everything.
Well, I would say it's also the generation before the millennials, too. It's those two generations. The
Generation X.
It's Generation X, Y, whatever. Basically, the 13 to 45 demographic that's who goes to the movies more than anybody else. And they want the big stuff. They want the flashy stuff. People go to the theaters for certain kinds of films. There are plenty of movies that I don't want to spend $15 a ticket on because there aren't big special effects. So I'll wait for it to come out and I'll watch it at home, right? But a movie like Thor Ragnarok, I want to see that on the big screen.
That's completely fair.
You know?
Yeah.
Because people have limited amounts of money.
Our problem. We're not killing the films. Millennials aren't doing it. Gen X is not doing it. It's the fact that they raise ticket prices so incredibly high. Like, they've inflated way more than a lot of other things have.
It's that combined with the fact that the TVs at home are better. We're not watching these on a 13-inch tube CRT anymore. We're watching them on 65 to 80-inch LED TVs, some of which are curved in 4K and all this kind of stuff that we can stream for $1.99 from Amazon.
Hell, some of our friends have projectors.
I mean, that's why. We can sit at home, eat our food, have our friends over, sit where we want, pause it if we need to, right? For $2 instead of going out and spending 50.
See, I think that to your point of the inflating ticket prices, that's why I think that MoviePass thing went so crazy viral. When they drop the prices to $10 a month. I mean, that's because that's the price of one movie ticket for most people in most areas. So, you know, like Derek said, he's not going to spend the money to go see a smaller indie film at the theater that's a romantic comedy. But if he's paying $10 a month for unlimited movies, then that would be more feasible that he might be able to find the 2 hours in his schedule to go do it and not spend anything extra on it. So.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
I'm still planning on trying that thing out.
Yes.
Yeah, shipping the cards out.
AMC is trying to put a stop to it for their theater chain.
They haven't yet. They can't. The way it works, I don't see a way that it works.
Well, they've...
Because it uses a credit card. Like, you can't...
They can no longer accept MasterCard.
That would do a pretty big damage to their business.
That would. MasterCard has the cheapest fees of all credit cards.
The question really comes down to who would be less happy about that. AMC or MasterCard,
yeah,
right? I mean, I don't know, but I understand because I spend, if we see a movie in Dolby at our theater, it's 15 and change a ticket. So even if the movie pass was $20 a month, which it's not, it's 10, but if it was $20 a month, I'd only have to see 2 movies a month.
But the point of the movie pass thing is to fill the seats that aren't going to be filled anyway. And those people might buy popcorn, might buy other things. So it's not like there's no benefit to the theater.
I do understand that. I do. But I do understand why I don't think it's sustainable either. It's why Netflix basically reports a loss every quarter, right? Yeah, it's $10 a month, and that sounds great for all of us.
But I mean, the business plan is not something over here. You know, whether MoviePass is going to be a long-term thing or not. But right now, I mean, for $10 a month, that's if you're a movie aficionado, then I mean, that seems like it's a pretty good deal. Maybe they'll die out. They'll be able to negotiate better prices on the tickets. But
I just think if AMC, Cinemark, and B&B get together, and maybe Phoenix, then...
And decide they're not accepting MasterCard?
Then I think that's going to go away real quick. I mean,
except that they're not going to do that. That would be stupid.
If it was a collective agreement?
Yeah, but they're not going to, they're going to lose so much money.
We'll see what rules out over here, fans or corporations. So let's move on. Let's talk Justice League trailer. All right, what did you guys think?
I thought it was fine. I actually think I prefer the previous trailer more. This one didn't seem quite as coherent, if that makes sense.
I appreciate the Clark stuff. That
was a great way to have Superman in the trailer without saying Superman is in the trailer. You know?
Absolutely.
Because there apparently are still some people out there that think that he's really dead and not coming back.
I talked to one today. It's only the people that Jason Momoa personally yells at.
Yeah.
to be fair, I mean, we don't know that he'll absolutely be back in this movie.
Yes,
I mean,
we do.
Come on, he'll be back in the movie. Yeah. It's ridiculous, guys.
It's
so funny. In fact, I just want to, like, so I forget who it was, so I apologize if I'm not name-dropping the person, but somebody was posting a picture of some Justice League stuff that was at a store, and it was a Pez set of Justice League. And it
was Kenneth.
Okay, and it was everybody, including Superman, but not Wonder Woman.
Sounds about right.
We're back to that again.
Sounds about right.
The guy who's in zero of the marketing for the film is replacing the person who's the lead in the marketing for the film.
Yeah, that totally makes sense.
Like, whose decision was that? That made me kind of...
Somebody pointed out something really cool, that the first Justice League trailer started with Batman, the second one started with Wonder Woman, and the third one starts with Superman. And so, like,
Trinity.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
Totally didn't notice that.
Somebody pointed it out to me. I didn't notice it.
As the DC fanboy, totally missed that altogether.
I just, you know, it's really cool. Like, the scenes look a lot of fun. They brightened up this trailer a lot. There was a lot of reds and oranges as opposed to the blacks and blues. So that was really visually pretty. And I'm excited for the film. Every day that goes by, I'm more excited for Justice League. I get less and less excited about Marvel because they can do good stuff. I've seen them do good stuff.
Well, they also come out with 3 movies a year.
That's how true. How many does DC come out? Yeah. It's oversaturation, in my opinion. Like, oh, gonna see the new Marvel chapter this week.
Like, now you're just so invested in Marvel, you feel like you have to see it. It's almost an obligation, you know?
Well, we're so close to Thanos finally doing something. Yeah. I feel like it's been decades.
It's been a decade next year.
So, you know, yeah, it's totally different, right? But at this point for the DCEU, I mean, it's really 2 movies? 3 movies?
This is kind of?
3. No, this will be the 4th.
I mean, Suicide Squad
is Man of Steel, Suicide Squad, BVS, and Wonder Woman. So this is right. Number 5. Fifth,
yeah, I know, I know. It's just like, those aren't... Suicide Squad is tangential.
Yeah, absolutely. And, they're not super connected. Yeah. And I appreciate that.
Man of Steel was more of retconned into it in BVS. You know? So that's all I meant. Whereas, you know, Marvel at this point, we've had how many? 17?
Oh, God. I've lost count.
Plus all the TV shows. Plus all the,
you know? So anyway, yeah. So that we're just kind of like on a cycle with Marvel. We're like, oh, yeah, the next Marvel movie's coming out. You know? Yeah. So yeah, I would say...
At this point, the Marvel movie happens as... about as often as my period, so like I can just count on it.
I'm not sure that math holds up, but you know.
Between a new TV
we
show,
we don't want to know what kind of birth control she's on, Derek. That would reduce her period to 3 times a year. Yeah,
I'm on the Marvel birth control.
Yeah,
I'm, no market is untapped by
that's
Disney.
Right. one of the pills looks like Captain America. One looks like Mjolnir.
I love it.
I really like the trailer. It was nice for me seeing some of the more polished effects, because there were a lot of scenes. For example, one thing I had a major problem with, I don't know if you guys remember way back when the first trailer came out, was the way Cyborg looked. Mm-hmm. Actually, that was not even a trailer. That was like the behind-the-scenes like featurette or whatever that they showed. Yeah, exactly. Because I thought he looked like Megatron. Like, his armor was constantly moving and doing this stuff. And now he has like more solid plates in the scenes that, where he had all those little mechanical things. Mm-hmm. And so they're going with a more traditional look, it looks like. And I'm much more excited about that because I hated the way he looked. A lot more red, like you were saying. Like, there's scenes where it was literally Wonder Woman in the middle of a street. Like, I think when Batman's, like, speeding away and the thing, and she, like, lands on the ground. And before, in the last trailer, it was just, like, bright, you know, and everything. And now it's red and doom and everything all around it. And it looks like this whole city's been now destroyed, whereas before it looked like maybe a few blocks were torn up, but... overall, pretty good.
The scale seems to be unknown at this point.
Between the two trailers, it's hard to predict. It's either completely destroyed the entire Earth, or somebody had a couple bad days in there, you know? But like,
it seems to be the go-to to have all these heroes come together to fight, like, a innumerable amount of force, I guess. Faceless, nameless, just beings.
Parademons.
But the parademons... have been in comics before. Sure. You know, Ultron in the comics rarely created the big army. He didn't have to. He was tapped into the internet. He could have done whatever he wanted to.
Yeah.
And then the Chitauri was created by Joss Whedon for the film. So at least the parademons have been around. There's history behind them. And their faces are terrifying. And they actually zoomed in on them.
Apparently they're like converted inhabitants of the planets that they've taken over.
And to be fair, this is also very similar to the story of how the Justice League usually gets together.
It's always some sort of invasion.
Were the parademons converted? Like, I thought they were a separate army, not, like, converted from planets they've taken over.
That I don't know.
It's rarely, like, it's very lightly touched on, right? But they're not human, and the comics never really show them taking over humans.
Well, they flat out show in the trailer, like, somebody turning in. You don't see it actually turn into a parademon, but it's implied that that's what's going on.
It's implied that they're this kind of like faceless amalgamation of things as an army in the comic books. They just never show humans getting like assimilated, I guess. But most of the time the Justice League gets together because something with Apocalypse happens and there's a bunch of parademons. It's usually how it happens. So you know, this is kind of how you get the Justice League together. If they had done something else, then people would probably complain that it's not source material.
I did like that they listened to all the criticism from the final trailer with BVS And then that was the one that showed Doomsday, like, front and center. You got to see him 100% clearly. Cave Troll.
Yeah.
Doomsday. But in this one, you barely see Steppenwolf. You see, mm-hmm. like, one scene of him fighting Wonder Woman looks really cool. And that's about it. You don't get an up-close shot. You don't see anything.
On the ground, which was really neat.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I thought that was really great because that was one of my big criticisms of the trailers of BVS was that it gave away the villain right there. You see that yeah. it's Doomsday. You see exactly what he looks like. There's zero mystery. In this one, you see a lot of parademons die, but then you see Steppenwolf beating the crap out of, yeah. you know, these super powerful people that you know are very powerful. So
yeah,
that was good, I thought.
So we're pushing halfway point here. Yeah, so let's talk Star Wars. I know people are freaking out about spoilers. I don't really think that there was much in there that was spoilery.
Some people think they revealed too much. Other people...
I don't think they revealed too much, but I think it was yeah. pretty spoilery. If you want to go in cold, then there's a lot of stuff in there that, I mean...
See, but trailers get cut to say whatever you right. want to
I mean,
say,
I'm
right?
sure so... 80% of it is red herrings, but if even 20% of it is accurate, then, I mean...
It's... But you don't know, absolutely. Right? So going into it, nothing is spoiled because you don't know what's...
Unless you were right on the guess.
I mean, if you're guessing, but I mean, you...
As a newbie to Star Wars, can you guys explain to me why Kylo Ren's scar is now neoprene and not skin?
It was explained by Rian Johnson that it did not look right previously.
That was the scar's location.
Yeah.
Not the why it's material. I'm sure they'll explain that. I don't know that that's been like something that they've touched on.
Okay.
But the problem with the scar before that he's talking about was like there was a scar that went like across the bridge of his nose, and because of the shape of the actor's nose, it, you know, it didn't look right. But, you know, the scar across the eye. I think this one, there's like one on his cheek that goes a different angle that I think you're talking about. I don't think that's the same scar. I think that maybe it is. But, I mean, it's, like, underneath on his cheekbone, whereas the other one, they, like, cut it to be on his eye or something. So, unless it's just a huge scar that goes all the way across his entire face. Maybe it is. I don't know. But that black spot doesn't go across his eye or anything.
Question number two. Are they going to make Rey and Kylo get together? Because I hate that.
No. That was completely a red herring. Yeah. Like, I mean, maybe they are. One thing I said before The Force Awakens, after we saw Force Awakens, I thought it would be really cool if Rey went to the dark side and that Kylo came to the light side. And, you know, it was kind of a weird reversal from what they all expected. Everybody expected. They kind of implied, you know, something like that with this. But I think that was a total red herring. I don't think Disney would ever do that. But I'd be all about it if they switched roles.
Raylo.
No, I don't want them to be a couple because they're siblings. So that would be weird. But.
Okay, question three. Have they made the crystalline fox toy yet, and where can I get it?
No, but there's plenty of porgs out there for you to get.
I have a porg. I want a crystal fox now.
I feel left out because I didn't notice it when I watched the trailer at all.
It was a super obvious thing, too.
I guess it just didn't connect with me on the same level as some of the other stuff in the trailer.
There was a lot of Pokemon in this trailer.
I have a similar opinion for this trailer that I did with the Justice League one, where I feel like the previous trailer was better. I feel like this trailer just showed you a bunch of stuff with no real context.
And I'm fine with that, to be honest.
But it's just images of stuff.
And that's just it. Like, a trailer nowadays, it doesn't have to tell a story. It has to get you psyched so you spend your money. And that's what it did. It's really pretty.
So what I'm saying for me, this trailer did not get me as interested as the previous
trailer. So you're
not
going to go see it?
That's not what I said.
Oh, okay. So I guess they weren't trying to get you to
Well, I guess I'm not the target market.
No, you're not.
You know,
Derek wants a small miniature story. Like, he just wants a tiny little logical...
I just think that the first trailer they did for Star Wars had a narrative to it.
That's fair.
Okay, and from an emotional level... I felt more involved in it when, you know, at the very end of the trailer when the music gets all dark and intense and they show The Last Jedi in red and all that. Like, that was, like, cool, intense moment. And in this one, I felt like it was just, like, someone scrolling through a giant gallery of photos from the set.
See, I disagree, know? Because I think the whole... Basically, you get kind of a mini story with Luke in this one. You see, you know, him talking to Rey and saying... I've only seen this power once before, and I wasn't scared then, but I'm scared now. And then you see his hand rising out of burned down rubble of a building, which we assume is a Jedi temple, and pulling himself out of it. I mean, that was pretty...
No, I get that they're trying to set it up so Rey and Kylo are, like, both super-powered, you know, Force users.
Yeah, well, they're both from bloodlines that are, you know,
which, I mean, it's fine. I mean, if they're both super ultra-powerful, that can only be so interesting.
I think...
then there's no underdog.
I think the interesting part of it is that Luke is scared of both of them, because Luke, up until this point, has been the most powerful Jedi that we've seen, or Force user that we've seen.
That's alive.
I mean, who have we seen that's more powerful than Luke? Because, I mean, at this point, we assume Luke's been, you know...
In the prequel trilogies. Trilogy, excuse me. Yeah, like Mace Windu and Yoda.
You think that Mace Windu and Yoda are more powerful Jedi than Luke is?
I think that in canon, because the EU is not a thing anymore, right? That in canon...
Maybe I'm putting some of that in myself.
You might be, but I think if you take just the movies, the TV shows, etc., right? If you were to take them both out of time and put them, you know, together, Mace Windu and Yoda, I think, are more powerful than Luke.
So you think Mace and Windu and Yoda would have been able to go and defeat Darth Vader and the Emperor?
Not the time.
All right. All right, fine. Well, let's move on then, because we are over our halfway point here. We have to start talking about the Inhumans and the Gifted.
So both premiered within the last couple of weeks. So, you know, if you haven't seen them, go watch them. They're both on Hulu, so you can check that out.
We are only talking about the premiere episodes.
It is. Man,
why am I torrenting it?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
They are both on Hulu. They're both on Hulu. We are only discussing the premieres.
First episodes.
So there will be spoilers for the first episodes, but not the other episodes.
Technically, the premieres of Inhumans was two episodes.
It was, yes.
Yeah.
They on the both same premiered night, on the they, same night. They aired
so. Oh, we only watched one.
That's fine. Oh. It's fine.
Hulu didn't really denote that, so I didn't know.
Okay.
Anyway,
It's kind of a shame because the second episode was better than the first one. That's so fine. I mean, it seemed like it was more of a continuous story for me through those first two episodes, but you guys didn't know, so it's...
Which one did you guys like better?
Gifted.
Yeah, I mean, gosh. Yeah. I talked about Inhumans last week.
A little bit.
And, I mean, there were some appealing things to me about it, and, you know, maybe a more nostalgic type feeling that I got from it, but I think Gifted, I mean, looks like it's a better show. It's got better, you know, writing and better, more interesting characters at this point. I mean, it's a better show for sure. I'm probably more interested personally in Inhumans because I like the characters, but...
I think the Inhumans had a harder thing to pull off because, at least for the first episode, it really doesn't take place on Earth. So they had to build all these sets, make it look like it's alien. They have to wear non-normal clothes versus in The Gifted, where they're basically regular people in our world, in our time, driving cars like ours, right? So the special effects are only when they use their powers or if a particular mutant happens to look different.
Right.
Versus in humans, everybody has to wear weird stuff with strange buildings and beautiful stuff because they're king and queen. And
many of them look like aliens Exactly.
Yeah. So I just feel like even if they had the same budget, Inhumans would have had more work to do. Yeah.
Definitely.
Just to be fair. But I do think that The Gifted is more compelling, and maybe that's just because I just know more about the X-Men than the Inhumans, so the fact that, like, I know who Blink is to an extent, and I know that this exists in the universe of the X-Men and the Brotherhood, that it's just more compelling for me.
Blink has been on Days of Future Past before. We've already seen her. I personally like the Days of Future Past look a lot better than Jamie Chung's look. I really feel like they screwed up with the contacts in Jamie Chung's eyes. She's such a beautiful actress that those contacts look like lime green jello in her face, and that's unappealing. Everything else about Blink is really good. I like that they got her pretty close to the beginning of her manifestation, so she can't control them as well as she could in Days of Future Past. So that was nice. Lorna Dane, Polaris, is Magneto's daughter, Quicksilver, and Scarlet Witch.
Which one is she?
Younger sister.
The one who gets arrested?
Yes, okay. She was arrested.
Yeah, she was cool. That was probably the one I thought was the coolest of all of them. Had the coolest looking powers and stuff like that. I thought, you know, she was the one that started raging and like throwing cops. Yeah, I was like, this is great. I love that character.
She was good.
I mean, her powers are cool, but they're also kind of familiar, which I liked, right? You're not just totally thrown into the unknown. It's Magneto powers because that's, you know, his daughter.
And Warpath was in A Days of Future Past as well. His older brother, Thunderbird, is in this show. So. Oh. We could have another connection right there.
That's cool.
And then Eclipse is the leader of the Rogue X-Men. Rogue.
Wait, don't say Rogue. Now I'm confused.
Oh, no. Rebel X-Men.
I did not see Anna Paquin in this, okay?
But you did see her husband, Stephen Moyer, who plays Reed Strucker.
Weird.
It's all a circle.
His powers were cool. I like that, like, he doesn't just shoot light out. He's filled with light.
Yeah.
You know? That was weird. I didn't really know, like, he's filled with light, so he doesn't have any organs or anything.
Well,
like,
they're just really bright.
Maybe they all emit light?
Yeah, maybe it's a, maybe every one of them does that.
I mean, I don't know, right? It does beg the question, what's special about his skin cells versus the rest of the cells in his body? That they can control and suppress that.
Maybe they'll explain.
But I thought it was cool when he got shot, like, you know, the lights, like, shining out through the wound and things like that.
So the Struckers are all new characters. They were all created.
The parents are awful.
The parents are very bad. Now, Stephen Moyer and Amy Acker are great television actors. They've been in a ton of TV shows beforehand, but they are terrible people. She is dumb and he is dumb. And
the characters are terrible.
Yes.
They're the worst part of the show
for sure
so far, without a question. The fact that somehow they're shocked that their mutant kids wouldn't tell their own parents who persecute mutants as a living that they are, it's ridiculous.
Those two mutants they're not comic book characters. They're not somebody from the comic
book. They could be based off of characters.
I thought the one that could make the crystalline things looked cool. That was absolutely neat. That was a neat power.
Very visual power. I mean, she's basically the Invisible Girl without the invisibility. She's got the force field thing.
She can make force fields, yeah.
And that's really cool.
They did a good job making it look where it's, I don't know, hexagons or whatever. A beehive, basically. It looked really neat. I liked that.
It's nice to have visual powers for a TV show.
It's tough for the other kid that's I can just make things shake or how far does it go? We
or
don't know.
Quake.
But, yeah, Quake, which is already in the MCU, so that was kind of weird for me. It's we already have this character, except she's way more powerful.
Yes.
But
I got nothing there. So I think that The Gifted does a better job of making me interested in the lead characters.
I agree.
I'm very curious to see what happens with these kids, where they end up. I want to follow these other mutants in the underground and see what they're doing and find out what happened to the X-Men, because this is supposed to take place between the final end of Days of Future Past and Logan.
Yes.
This takes place somewhere between those two timelines. So I would like to know, is this the event that they reference in Logan, where Professor X, basically wipes out most of the mutants? Is that what they're talking about, or is this a different event? I'll be very interested to know that.
So they've confirmed that this is in the X-Men universe?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah. So much so that they're trying to get a Professor X to cameo on the show.
Seems unlikely.
It does.
I don't know. I mean,
they want to do the same.
Patrick Stewart
Legion.
Does TV.
Did Legion get a second season?
No. As far as I know, I haven't heard anything about it getting a second season.
Fair enough. That's what they wanted to do with Legion, is get Patrick Stewart on.
Because Legion is also in this universe. So
I could.
Different time.
I had to stop Legion.
We didn't finish it.
It was way too, I had to be too focused on it. If I took my face away for 2 seconds, then I was completely lost. Yeah.
That's fair.
So I couldn't do it. Was there anything you thought Inhumans did better than Gifted?
I think Inhumans has overall potential for greatness.
Wrong. The correct answer was more puppies.
Well, I
there's
I thought we were connected on that, Rachel.
There's an equal number of puppies.
Yeah, but okay.
They each have
one puppy. Is huge.
And teleports.
And does a little playing thing.
You don't know that the other dog can't do those things.
I think Inhumans has a better roster of actors in the mix. I think they're acting poor material at this point. It needs to be refined. So you get better stuff to act. You get, with good actors, you get a better show.
To be fair, pilots are always,
they're
there's
rough.
Very rarely
pilots
a good pilot.
We're comparing apples to apples
right,
here,
that's
though.
True.
Right? They're both premieres. But keep in mind that Inhumans does have the advantage of the actors mostly being older characters and more veteran actors because of that.
Including one from Game of Thrones, which
exactly.
is, yeah.
Whereas The Gifted is mainly focusing on kids and younger adults, which means that those have to be less experienced actors just by the numbers. So I don't want to give them too much credit for having stronger actors simply because they needed older people. I think that Inhumans was just more visually interesting, but again, that's because it takes place on the moon for the
Except
most
now
part.
It doesn't.
Except now it doesn't, right? So that's the thing. So after the first episode, Inhumans immediately loses the one thing that made it more interesting than The Gifted, because now they both take place on Earth, and The Gifted seems more compelling.
I really wanted to know more about the cast system. Cast systems always...
That did seem pretty interesting, and they didn't really... I don't think they're going to go back to that.
They just glossed over that. Like, because your powers aren't as visual, or your mutation isn't as beautiful, or whatever, you're stuck working in mines. Like, that is something I want to learn about.
That was cool. And then also, like, the pterogenesis process that they, like, every teenager gets put... Like, yeah. I thought that was cool, you know? I thought with the one chick coming out would be able to do the thing with the wings was neat, you know?
And then the other guy... He's a prophet that speaks in poems.
But he didn't think he got any powers. Yeah. And, you know, so that was, you know, interesting.
Yeah, it doesn't quite work for me. A good example is the king.
Yeah.
What happened when he got his powers for the first time and they tried to talk? That. They That's when that. He killed his parents?
Yes.
Because nobody else was around. It looked like that was at home.
I mean, I'm pretty sure they said that, and that's why.
Okay, because the scene is totally in, like, their living room. So the scene is bad, then, if that's what that's supposed to be. But, I mean, so you're telling me that this poor kid, like, walks out of this tube he had no choice in going in and immediately kills his parents?
Well, maybe at that point they hadn't started doing the, like, official, like, pterogenesis process for all the people yet, like, making a ceremony.
I mean, maybe, but it doesn't look like they had any safeguards, right? Because, you know,
they weren't expecting a person to come out and be able to blow people away with
their
voice.
But with the two new characters that we saw, the boy and the girl, right?
There weren't any safeguards
for
that.
There were no safeguards for them, right? They already know that at least their king can destroy people instantly, right, by just speaking, like, a word. So how would they not know that one of them could accidentally kill everybody in that room?
That's a really good point. That's fair. Really good.
Just by straight odds, that should happen.
So we should talk a little bit about some of the makeup and design on some of the characters, because it's definitely a more visual show, to be honest.
Fine, I wanted to talk about the cast system that you brought up. But
no,
Well, they don't explore that, so, I mean, we'd just be talking about how we wish they explored it more.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's pretty much the long and the short of it, in case you're just not interested in that. I mean, I guess you might not
fair
be
enough,
interested
fair
in
enough.
That. But, so for the makeup and visual effects, I was a little disappointed in a lot of it, because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I know you guys don't watch it, but the visual effects are really good.
Yeah.
Really good. In fact, not to spoil anything, so I won't go too deep into it, but at the end of this last season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., there is a scene on the moon. And so first thing, it makes me wonder if they're going to do a tie-in to Inhumans, but it looked a lot better. I mean, and the makeup on the dude, who was the guy that died on Earth on the very beginning?
Triton.
That's a cool name, right? And I was expecting a cool character. The makeup looked really bad.
The makeup was awful. Triton in the comics looks so compelling.
It reminded me of, like, 90s sci-fi.
Yeah.
People on Face Off have done better makeup jobs in less time. So that was really disappointing. Gorgon was disappointing.
Yeah, and you don't also really know his powers, or if he has any powers, or if his powers that he's just born with goat. Lower extremities. I don't
know.
Well,
he can kick really hard.
Right, but is that his powers? I mean, or does he have actual powers?
I do like how they were able to cheapen it by just giving him boots.
Yeah.
When he was on Earth, that looked totally normal.
Oh, yeah.
Well, as soon as he walked in, I was like, you're a cosplayer. I've seen cosplayers with those hooves. So, Karnak looked cool. He looks completely different than he does in the comics, but his...
I'm sorry, was that
the probability guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was neat. And the way they did his powers, I actually thought was really interesting.
He was a huge confusing. High.
It was great once they explained it.
Yeah.
But, like, for the most of that episode, I'm like, this guy's just really a downer. He's kind of a jerk. Why is he here? And, I mean, I don't know these characters. I never read anything about the Inhumans.
Right.
So, by the time they show the scene, like, you know, where he dies, they're like, well, we'll try that again, and he gets to show like that. And
that was
all
cool,
of a sudden,
right?
Like, oh, well, this guy's much more interesting now than he was before. That
possibly the most interesting power set of anybody on the show right now,
That is one of the most creative power sets I've ever seen in comics or movies or anything. Like, that's just really, really cool.
I do think Black Bolt is pretty cool, too. And Medusa. Actually, like, a lot of the royal family in the comic books is pretty cool. In the show,
they have potential.
Yeah, I stand by the fact that I think Black Bolt, if he's given better material, he's doing a good job, and the guy looks the part. I wish he would get a cowl. Same with Medusa. She's her actress.
Serena Swan is pretty good, actually.
Only got to see the first episode. She gets a lot better in the second episode. Once she's on Earth.
Yeah.
Medusa herself, Serena Swan, was not my problem. I thought she acted very well. And the hair went back and forth for me. That love scene in the very
That was great. Part, yeah, I did like that.
That was great. Yeah. That was really well edited. Derek looks over at me and he's like, that was hot. I was like, I know.
Why not? But I will say that...
when she fights Maximus and the guards, it was bad.
It wasn't as good, but it makes sense, though, the wig because normally. They kind of just, like, they cut it all off. So, like, why spend so much time making it look really good if it's not going to be an effect that's used
Because you're
that
not going to need it for the rest of the season. So,
at least for a couple of episodes, right? Like, if in episode 2 or 3 she has her hair back, I'm going to be really annoyed.
Maybe that's a part of her power.
She then why would she have been so upset when they cut it off?
Because now she has no way to defend herself.
So
for like 2 days?
Yeah, when the whole place is being taken over.
A director a long time ago said that when somebody wants to be forcibly like roughed up or something like that, when they want to simulate rape, they'll cut off a woman's hair in the film. That's why the V for Vendetta scene is always really intense too, because it's against their will. And
I guess I just take the two differently because
absolutely,
Natalie Portman's character didn't have any superpowers in her hair. So
the coolest part about Medusa is obviously her hair because her outfit sucks. But
like that's her
they
power.
Got rid of it.
So if you want to stop her, that's what you just.
But then
do.
In the second episode, she is shown to be more than just her hair.
Yeah.
So
that's good.
I assume she has to be, right. She's not queen because she has cool hair,
right?
You know, but
they do touch on. I don't remember if it was in the first second episode. So you guys may not have seen it yet, but they do go into kind of like her and Black Bolt's first meeting and like.
Yeah, the first.
Okay,
episode.
I didn't know. Yeah. I couldn't remember if that was the first episode.
I'm not sure how. You know, much farther they go. But.
I liked that part. I liked that the flashbacks were small and minimal, and they went from, like, scene to scene to scene. It was really, it flowed really well. It wasn't like the Arrow flashbacks where, you know, there's a commercial break and you're on the island. Commercial break, you're in Star City. Commercial break,
they
you're
did
on
get
island.
Better about that, but it's still...
I understand.
What did you guys think of Lockjaw?
He's cute. Right.
I didn't think the CGI was very
really?
Good. It was very...
It wasn't great, but compared to a lot of the other CGI that I've seen, that was in that show specifically.
Maybe.
I feel like it was the best that could be expected.
Yeah. Well, okay, so here was my problem with it. It was very clear that he was not on the same plane of existence of the characters in the set that he was placed on. The shadowing around him was really bad.
Yeah.
It was old split-screen looking technology, right? Like, forget the detail on the character. The fact that he didn't look there. It looked like they had just put him on top of everything.
So, you remember last week when I was talking about, like, the nostalgia, how it felt like a 90s show to me, and
yeah,
I kind of like that?
I
That's probably
agree.
Part of it. Like, I get that, like, the CGI isn't good, and maybe that bothered you. For me, it was like, maybe that was part of what, I hadn't really thought about it, but maybe that's part of what gave me the feeling that I feel like I'm watching a 90s, like, science fiction show or something.
But it's not supposed to be a 90s science fiction show.
It isn't, but I mean, reason why I find it appealing, it works for me. But I realize it might not work for everybody.
I'm absolutely not saying you can't like it because it looks like that. I'm just saying that like, a show like The Orville, for example, is trying to look like the 90s Star Trek, right? Like, it just is. And so there's going to be some stuff that looks like 90s Star Trek. But this Inhuman show is supposed to fit in with the rest of the MCU.
I agree with you. Like, I'm not arguing that.
So I just felt like the character itself was overlaid on everything with a shadow effect that was just really distracting.
Yeah.
So rumor has it that this is done. Inhumans is done because of the critical reception, because of the lack of sales at the IMAX release.
Well, so that was their own fault for making the IMAX cut shorter than the TV cut.
Yeah.
Yes.
Why would I pay money to see a shorter episode?
I also agree.
There was no effect in that show in the first episode, because it was only the first episode.
Yeah.
It wasn't the first 2 episodes, I don't think.
No.
I don't remember.
And, you know, there was nothing in that first episode, short of maybe that first shot going over the moon, that would have made me want to go see an IMAX. And even that was, I mean, not that thrilling.
It was just backwards. If you want people to go to the theater, you give them the longer cut.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's
a special reason to go, yeah.
Yeah, like, otherwise, why am I going? Like, that was the cool thing about when they did Battle at the Wall for Game of Thrones in theaters. You know, you got, like, a poster, and you got the feature, you know, big screen battle, and they didn't cut anything from that.
Right.
Yeah, that would have been ridiculous. Nobody would have gone.
Do you think there's a chance that fans can save the show?
No. I think once the mouse has made up their mind.
I mean, fans didn't really
If they really love it, like, if it's just outrageous amounts of love. then I guess it might be safe. But I just, based on what I've seen, I don't see that happening.
Okay. There's so many cogs moving that they don't want to spend time worrying about one that might be broken. You know what I mean? Fair. Right? So they didn't bring, like, Agent Carter. You know, that show didn't really get saved after two seasons.
They pushed for it, too. I mean, they wanted to cancel it the first season.
The fans that did like it really liked it, though. Absolutely. There was petitions and stuff like that. So, I mean, I think that this show would have to be really good.
And they obviously love Hayley Atwell. They keep finding reasons to put Agent Carter in nowadays
Captain
movies.
Captain Marvel, please. Like, Captain Marvel.
So they, but they've got so many other shows. Of course, they have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
You got all the Netflix shows.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and so they just have so many other things that they can be focusing on that if this is really bombing the way that it is and they're not making any money off of it, there's no reason to continue.
Maybe they'll bring these characters over to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
At least some of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they already have the Inhumans there. So.
It would be a waste to totally, you know, abandon shove
it.
The whole thing.
Do you think it would have been better as a movie? Would you rather it stayed their original plan, which was for it to be a movie in phase three? Or phase four?
I think it's easier for people to be invested. Like, I'll see a movie, right? But I can only watch so much TV. And I can't keep picking up every superhero show that comes out.
Right. And you don't.
And I don't. And The Gifted is interesting because at least it's X-Men and it's tied into the X-Men movies. And that's a different universe.
The Gifted is great for me because X-Men is what got me into comics. And the thing about X-Men is they've always had minor characters that are never going to see the light of day on a film. It's not going to happen. They're not going to be in the background. They're not even going to be like a reference. But in The Gifted, they totally could be. They could be on there. I could finally see some of these powers.
And Humans doesn't have that appeal to you?
I
mean, I feel like you're just describing the same thing.
No, you're totally right. I guess I got my hopes up because I wanted to see an Inhumans film. Because this is a very dark, royal family with a lot of issues inside these like 7 or 8 people. And to wash it down, get subpar people working on it instead
of... Scott Buck. Get out of here, Scott Buck.
We would have better product, I believe.
But at least you're getting to see characters that you would never have seen before.
That's true.
Yeah, they're also less recognizable is the issue. Like, I don't really know anything about the Inhumans. All I know about the Inhumans is they just kind of sound like knockoff X-Men. And Marvel doesn't own the rights to make
fair,
X-Men stuff.
Because, like, Black Bolt, really powerful character. Powerful than, like, 99% of the X-Men. He can, with a whisper, destroy a city. Like, it's...
And knockoff characters and ripoff characters have become incredibly successful. Green Arrow is a ripoff of Batman, and Deadpool is a ripoff of Deathstroke. And
Iron Man was a C-D level character for Marvel.
Absolutely. So I'm not saying that they can't be good.
I just hate hearing that. That's all. I mean, it's just like...
I'm just saying that, for me, though, if I have my hours that are available to watch stuff, you know, I'm much more interested on a show that might cross over with the X-Men, you know, than a show that is about a bunch of characters I literally know nothing
that
about.
That does cross over with 27,000 movies and 17 TV shows.
Well, here's the thing, do they
exist in the same universe.
But the movies have never referenced the Inhumans.
No, they haven't referenced the Inhumans. So, but we know that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. takes place in the same universe.
But I don't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So,
right, but I'm saying it's all in the same universe.
That's what the argument is. It totally is, right? But again, that's extra stuff I have to commit to. Like, I don't watch Gotham because Gotham doesn't tie into.
So you're saying if in one of the new movies Inhumans are mentioned, then now you're all of a sudden going to be interested in the show?
No,
because it's all
tied
together.
Depending on the level of connection, I will have to be more interested in it to know the whole story. It was part of why I tried watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. when it first came out because it was supposed to tie into the movies quite a bit, and I just wasn't able to keep up with it. Is the reality of it. I'm not putting a judgment on the quality of the show. You know, I just couldn't keep up with it. There's just too much on TV. That's all.
So, of the two shows, which ones are you going to continue watching?
I'm actually going to finish out both seasons.
I mean, with Inhumans probably being canceled,
it makes it a little less intimidating because you only have to watch one at one season, right?
Exactly.
It's like 6 to 8 episodes or something.
It's not a big investment. I want to watch The Gifted again because I like the X-Men. I like most of the X-Men movies. I like the characters in X-Men. Love the cartoon that, you know, was back in the 90s.
And it was a ringtone! It was Eclipse's ringtone.
Was it?
Yeah,
I totally
when he
missed
picked
that.
Up the phone when Reed called him, it said da 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 da. I grabbed your hand and I was like,
oh yeah. Man, okay.
And it had a Stan Lee cameo.
That had a legit Stan Lee cameo. I thought it was going to be a picture on the wall or something.
No,
but
he was in the show.
I just, you know, that is interesting to me, right? Whereas Inhumans, just it didn't do a lot to grab me. But if it's going to be short, then sure, I'll watch it.
Yeah, I mean, if it doesn't get better, then you just stop watching it. I mean,
that's, absolutely. I mean, that's what it is for everything.
Pretty much,
it's tough.
Well, like when you get to like Arrow and Flash, where there's like five seasons and you're committed to the characters, it's tough.
That's part of it, though.
I'm
right?
only watching Arrow now because I started at season one. Yeah.
Well, so when Legends of Tomorrow came in, I wanted to watch that because it ties into that universe, right? Yeah. I don't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so even if it ties into Inhumans, I don't have anything invested in that. And the movies have done a pretty good job of not referencing any other TV shows.
Well, the movies, I mean, there's, if you've watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., then you'll pick up on things in the movies that are references to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but you don't miss out on anything. Like,
it's really minor
stuff. It is. It's like some of the technology they use was developed by somebody in the show, and you've seen it in the show before. That's about the extent of it, yeah. So, I mean, I get that. I still wish you guys would watch it, but
I wish they hadn't dropped the Deathlok storyline. I really wish.
He's probably going to come back. He still exists in the universe, so I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. He's a fan favorite. Ghost Rider though was really good. I wish you guys had watched that.
The Netflix shows are all connected, so I watch all of those.
Yeah.
If they were going to cross over with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
there's a couple tiny connections, but it's,
But no crossover. You know what I mean? Like, if Daredevil was going to show up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., well, I guess I have to figure out what's going on, don't I?
There was a rumor that Punisher was going to show up in the season finale of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
which
because him and Ghost Rider have a history, so.
But that would have been, I think, from a marketing perspective, a very good move, because now all of a sudden I have to wonder if I'm missing anything.
Yeah, and the Punisher show is coming out, so you get to market for that, and your show that's losing ratings. Yeah, that would have been sweet. I would have been a huge fan.
That's what the CW shows do for DC. Now, they're talking about how Black Lightning won't be in the same universe.
This is the same thing about Supergirl.
They said the same thing about Supergirl. Now, I guess technically you're right. She's on a different Earth, but they do crossovers. So, you know, I feel like I have to keep up on all of them just to make sure I don't miss any of those crossovers.
So that's really it for us. Like, the upcoming fall TV, our CW shows are back this week, next week, and the week after.
I'm watching Gotham, which started up a few weeks back, and then Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. starts in December, I think they said. Yeah. So.
And the CW shows start this week, not Black Lightning, but that's a
Black Lightning
show.
Yeah, it starts in January.
But the others are all back. Yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to watch on TV. We got a bunch of movies, of course, still coming out. Three massive blockbusters still have to come out this year.
Punisher, Stranger Things starts up I mean, Stranger Things happens at the end of this month. Punisher, the release date is iffy at this point, what with the massacre in Las Vegas. But we know we're getting it before the end of 2017, so
Realistically, they canceled the panel, but they might not actually be pushing the show back. Right. It may have been planning like a mid-November release from the beginning.
I thought it was supposed to be mid-November. I thought it was supposed to be after Thor anyway.
Yeah.
So that way everyone goes sees Thor, and then they can watch the Punisher.
Yeah.
You know?
I thought so, too.
Makes sense. What else? Anything else, guys? You want to say any final thoughts on The Gifted or Inhumans?
The 8% on Rotten Tomatoes is inaccurate.
It's
not great, but it's you know, it's fine. If you really like the characters and you just want to see them in live action, it's worth watching.
But honestly, though, I can't imagine anything having an 8% unless it was like a sympathetic Ku Klux Klan film. Like, that's
The Room with Tommy Wiseau. I mean,
everybody loves that film.
Pilots are not particularly good, though. Most pilots are not particularly good. Most pilots are not good representations of the rest of the show.
Yeah.
There's a few exceptions, right? There's always a few exceptions. We were talking earlier, I think, you know, The Flash had a pretty good premiere.
Yeah.
But most shows are iffy when they start off. You know, a lot of cast members end up getting changed and sets get changed and different things like that.
Get changed, makeup change.
Anybody who's a Trekkie should know that. You know, that the first episode's gonna not be so great usually. So, you know, if you at all found Inhumans or The Gifted interesting, you might as well give them a chance, you know.
Give them a couple episodes at least to see
if
it's any good.
Yeah, I try and give a show a full season. I really do.
And to be completely honest, Marvel has had great films, good films, and okay films. So it's about time they kind of have a bomb, you know? It makes sense to drop the ball once in a while. So,
I'm just not sure.
Same showrunner. Coincidence?
No, I don't think so.
I'm not sure it's fair to call it a bomb. I think that the critics are being overly critical of the show.
That's fair.
I think that once there was some backlash about the IMAX run being a shorter cut than TV and people were having negative buzz, it became the cool thing to do to slam the show. Just like that, right? Mm-hmm. As soon as the critics hear that it'll be it'll be good for clicks on their article to slam it, they'll slam it.
Yes.
Right? And that's why you're not going to see that on some on certain things, but you'll see it on stuff like this. There was bad buzz that had nothing to do with the quality of the show at all.
Yeah.
You know, that got people interested on the slam train. And that's what happened. And it's a shame.
I bet that's a porn.
It happens to shows more often than it really should.
I agree.
You know, a network like, for example, Fox decides they're going to cancel a show like Almost Human. And when they decide they're going to cancel it, they'll reorder the episodes. And all of a sudden, it doesn't make any sense. And so people get confused and stop watching it. Oh, the ratings went down. Like, you can destroy a show, you know, with things that are not the show itself.
Absolutely. So. Studios do that all the time. All right. So join us next week. We are talking Jim Henson films, particularly the directed ones. So we'll maybe mention others, but we're going to really focus on the ones that he developed. Absolutely. Because he did TV direction as well. Of course, you can find us all on different sites. He is a Star Trek dude. He's Buster Props. I am Siren Ray. Together, we all have a Patreon for...
Wonder Twin Powers. Oh.
Form of an ice gondola.
That's the best form you can come up with, Derek.
We all have a Patreon. You can...
Give us your money.
Yeah.
All of it, please.
All of it.
We do have an announcement to make, though.
Oh, gosh.
We do?
Yes.
I didn't either. He didn't tell us.
I told you both about it earlier today. No, you didn't. Our host.
Oh, I don't look at that.
We have a contest starting tomorrow, which is the day this show comes out if you're not watching us live. So on Wednesday, October 11th, we are starting our Facebook contest for a pair of 3-day passes to Kansas City Comic Con.
We want to know what lengths you'll go to get those. You tell us the craziest thing you would do.
That is not what the contest is.
Oh, my bad.
No.
I thought that was
no, but you can still go post that on her page. That,
if you want to let Siren Ray know, you can. But no, go to facebook.com/heroespodcasts tomorrow midday for when the contest begins and is posted. And there will be a post, and you will need to like and share that post, and then comment with the number one thing you are most excited to get a chance to see and or do at Kansas City Comic Con if you were selected to win these tickets.
And as always, Derek, if they give us a star rating on iTunes, you give out $1 for every star they give us, right?
That's true. Not.
Personally PayPal from Derek's personal PayPal.
The winner of the contest will be announced at a later date. We have not quite decided the end date yet.
October 24th on our fan cast for Watchmen.
Okay, there you go.
2-week-long contest.
Two-week-long contest. Gives everybody 3 weeks before the convention.
Yes.
So go check that out. Facebook.com/heroespodcast. You can find all of our other stuff at Heroes Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, and Tumblr. We're also...
And YouTube.
Well, YouTube, you have to go to heroespodcast.com and click on the YouTube link.
That's fine.
We do not have a vanity URL. So
like, share, and subscribe our stuff.
Do it, do it, do it. Go to patreon.com/heroespodcast to check out our new monthly video series. Our first video is still patrons only, and it is a really awesome scene from the Quentin Tarantino film Pulp Fiction.
We've got another one coming up that's going to remain secret, but it involves all three of us.
If you want early access to those and for some fun behind-the-scenes stuff, go to patreon.com/heroespodcast and become a patron today.
These two may or may not be naked.
Probably not.
Maybe.
I mean, if I'm off camera, you never know. So, thanks for tuning in, everybody. We will catch you guys next week.
Bye-bye.